Jeanine Pirro.
She's the outspoken host.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is dominating the headlines right now.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation presents the Judge Jeanine Pirro Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Welcome, everyone, to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. It may appear to you that my voice is a little, kind of cloudy, kind of muddled. That's because I've got some kind of thing that's been going around, but then again, everybody else has it, but I couldn't give up the opportunity to speak to you this Sunday. So welcome to the show. I hope you're enjoying your day so far. It is Sunday. It's a great day in New York City, but at the same time, it's still a little cloudy. It's still a little cold. But as always, we are armed and ready to serve justice with all my great listeners on the Red Apple Audio Network. So much happened this week. I got to tell you, every week, it's like, can you believe this? This week, we saw what happened when Israel made a decision to hit Iran after Iran attacked Israel in the first ever direct attack by Iran against Israel last weekend, and the world held its breath trying to figure out whether or not Israel was going to retaliate, and it did. This week, we also saw the jury being picked in the Donald Trump hush money case in New York City, and we are going to be talking with attorney Arthur Iadala about that. Arthur's a great attorney and is a veteran of the criminal courtroom. And the question is, can Donald Trump get a fair trial in a county where 90% of the people in the county voted against Donald Trump, and where the jury voter pool is taken from the jury voting voting rolls? So we've got a lot of issues to talk about, and of course, then we can fine tune it a little more to Columbia University and what happened at the university this week when finally the president of the university allowed the New York City cops to come in and take students off campus who were disrupting the university. And as we continue to see in New York and across the country, the universities have become a breeding ground for anti-Semitism. And the question, of course, is what are we going to do about it? And we saw now that after those students were removed, more students came back to protest. And the way it all figures out to these students, folks, is that the Jews are the oppressors, the Palestinians are the victims, and it doesn't matter much what anyone does. It's that simple equation that forces them or causes them to do what they do. And we had Joe Biden this week. Oh, we can always count on Joe to do something laughable, but not so laughable when you realize that the guy is actually the president of the United States. He said his uncle was eaten by cannibals in New Guinea. But the amazing part of it is no one's ever heard this before. And I did a little research on this myself, and his uncle, who was allegedly eaten by cannibals, which Joe Biden has nothing to support, apparently the plane went down, according to the military, because of a malfunction. And although three men failed to emerge, one crew member survived. Now, how did that crew member get away from the cannibals in New Guinea? Who knows? But then again, truth has never been on the side of Joe Biden. If you recall, he's the first person in his family to graduate from college. But that's in spite of the fact that he says his grandfather played college football. You know, you can't keep up with this guy. Every time he opens his mouth, it's not just a question of lying. It's a question of the guy being totally delusional. You know, whether it's his uncle being eaten in New Guinea by the cannibals, or whether he drove an 18-wheeler, or whether he grew up in a Puerto Rican neighborhood in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Now, my father grew up, folks, in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He can't remember a Puerto Rican neighborhood, and nor my mother can't either. And, of course, Joe Biden said that his son, Beau, who wasn't in the military, and we do respect him for that, died in Iraq. No, he didn't, Joe. He died in a hospital. But it just goes on. And here's a guy who says, this is my favorite part. He says he crossed that Baltimore bridge on an Amtrak. Remember the bridge that was crushed by the vessel? Well, there's no Amtrak on the Baltimore Bridge. This guy is Looney Tunes, and he went to law school, he says, on a full academic scholarship. He did not. But that's just Joe being Joe, according to the Democrats. And while Joe is being Joe, he goes to one of the swing states this week in Pennsylvania, and he stumbles and mumbles his way through while Donald Trump is in a courtroom in Lower Manhattan, sitting there as jurors say, I can be fair. I absolutely can be fair, but I hate Donald Trump. I hate everything about him. He's this, he's that, he's the other thing. And the judge says, no problem. Let me tell you, one of the problems with this case, folks, is that this judge doesn't know what he's doing. He's a Trump hater. His daughter is making millions by raising money for Biden against Trump. And this guy, Judge Juan Merchan, now think about this. One of the jurors who's already been selected comes back the next, selected and sworn, folks. She comes back the next morning and she says, I can't do it. I've been identified. My friends called and said, is that you? This judge didn't even protect these jurors. He is so inept that instead of protecting his jurors, he yells at the press and admonishes the press and says, you shouldn't be identifying these jurors. Well, they weren't identifying the jurors. They were describing what the judge has allowed to be read in open court. It's a public trial, Judge. I know you're so consumed with hate against Donald Trump that you are not in a position to protect those jurors. But in the end, that is your job. So Donald Trump, we're going to be talking about that case with attorney Arthur Idala. And let me just focus a little bit in New York City before we go to our first guest. Crime is so bad in New York that Home Depot is deploying security guards with dogs to protect shoppers, this is according to the New York Post, from car break-ins and aggressive migrants, all right? You can't even go to Home Depot without being aggressively attacked by migrants. Now, in New York City, some high schoolers went in Harlem to a soccer game, a prearranged soccer game. They have both teams show up in New York, and the migrants who were in that park refuse to leave the field, even after the cops show up. And guess what? The cops tell the student soccer teams, the high schoolers, show us you have a right to be here. Not the illegals. They don't ask the illegals. They ask the soccer team. Well, by the time the soccer teams came up with the permit, which they had to legally be in that park, both teams felt it was not safe, and they ended the game. They didn't even start it. And so the amazing part is that when Americans are not safe and don't feel safe because illegals have taken over the parks, we're in big trouble. But in any event, we're going to go to our first guest, and he's going to talk to us about what has happened in the universities and what is going on with illegals and the legislature. So stay with us, folks, before we go to Garrett Ventry. And never forget, that's a commitment we made on 9/11. Honor it by donating $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
It's the Judge Jeanine Show.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
This is the Judge Jeanine Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Welcome back to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Joining us is a good friend, a brilliant guy. He is a senior communications advisor, or was, to the Senate Judiciary and Senator Grassley. And here's the bottom line. He was a key player in big moments in Washington in the criminal investigation and the Supreme Court nominations. Of course, you've heard him before. His name is Garrett Ventry. He is now the founder of GRV. I guess that goes for Garrett Ventry Strategies. Good morning, Garrett. Thanks so much for joining us on this Sunday morning. I couldn't wait to talk to you about some of the issues that I think are so important going on in the country right now. I mentioned some of this in the opening statement, Garrett, but right now, college universities seem to be breeding grounds for anti-Semitism. And unfortunately, what we've got are college universities being forced to admit that they've got these policies against Jewish students that are causing these students to be frightened. What can be done with these colleges? And I want to talk specifically about Columbia University.
Yes, absolutely, Judge, and thanks for having me on. I always love being on the program with you.
Thank you.
You're one of the best. No, I think this is right here. You've seen this greater trend here, and we saw this with the first college hearing that the House Labor and Education Workforce Committee did, when Elise Stefanik drilled down and asked a very simple question to Harvard, to Penn, to MIT, which was, does the calls for genocide of Jewish students on your campuses violate the code of conduct? And they said it depended on the context. Think about how ridiculous that is. It depends on the context, calling for extinguishing Jewish students. It's absolutely ridiculous. And now we're seeing it on Columbia here as well, where you're seeing these large protests where they're getting violent too, and they're spreading hate towards Jewish students. And the university president is essentially standing by and doing nothing to protect these students.
Well, one of the things that the president said or wouldn't say is she wouldn't say that From the River to the Sea is anti-Semitic. I mean, she's not stupid. She knows what that means. And yet, you know, we're accepting that she's going to take care of Jewish students. I mean, how do we stop this, Garrett?
Well, I think you need to fire all these people, number one, and you need to threaten to withhold, obviously, federal funding from these universities as well. And there's also a case for maybe even seizing their endowments if they're going to have this anti-American, anti-Israel type
rhetoric. How do you do that? I love that idea.
Well, I think you could really do it. I mean, unfortunately, Joe Biden would never do it from the federal government of President Trump. When President Trump wins again in November and January, you could seize their endowments until they essentially want to act here. You're talking about this is something they've built up from their investors, from donors, and federal funding as well. And so I think that would be one way of doing it. But there should be a threat here to say, listen, it's okay to have diverse opinions. If people want to, rally for the things that they care about, that's fine. But this has gone overboard from free speech to hate and targeting Jewish students, where there was an email sent out from a rabbi in Columbia that said that Jewish students are not safe on campus. Think about that. They are not safe on campus and they should not go to campus. That is what they're being told right now. That's absolutely ridiculous here in the United States of America that we're dealing with this year.
Well, and you know what? Go ahead, Garrett.
No, go ahead, Judge.
Well, it just reminds me of pre-World War II in Europe, Garrett Ventry. But by creating these hotbeds of support for terrorism, it's not just the university sitting quietly by. There are professors, and I think one in particular who is a tenured professor at Columbia said, "I'm with Hamas, Hezbollah, and Islamic Jihad." I mean, that not only is anti-Semitism, that is, I'm for killing Jews. No, how do you get rid of the tenured professors, Garrett?
Exactly. And so, you know, what we're talking about here is, you know, you saw this again at the when she testified, and Elise Stefanik again did a great job being like, has that professor been removed? And she finally fired that professor when she was, you know, questioned under oath. But that should have never been a question here. And so you're capitulating again. This has become, this is no longer pro-Palestinian, I say that in quotes, protest. It's become pro-Hamas protest, where they are spewing and echoing the lies of this terrorist group that killed women, that killed children, and held women and children and families hostage. And is still doing it right now as we speak. That's
well, you know what, Garrett Ventry? I wonder how many of those hostages are even alive. And you know what? There were how many Americans were killed on October 7th? I mean, how many Americans are held hostage? I mean, I'm not sure the number, but there are Americans in there. And yet, you know, Joe Biden doesn't seem to be moved by any of this at all. Although, you know, he says that he is on the side of Israel. And I guess, and I'm going to speak to Colonel David Hunt about this, about the military assistance we've given. But I want to move to another issue, Garrett. You know, there recently was a bill in Congress to deport illegals, people here illegally, who assault police officers. Are you familiar with that legislation?
I am. I believe Jeff Van Drew, actually from New Jersey, introduced it. Yes.
Yeah. And I get my understanding is Senator Cruz said this morning that all the Democrats voted it down.
No, it's absolutely remarkable here. Again, if it's sending money to Ukraine, if it is, you know, any kind of liberal pet project here that doesn't have to do with protecting American, the American border, the American worker, or our police who are protecting us here against some of these violent criminals, many of whom are migrants that have come here illegally and are causing chaos in New York City, as you know, both where, you know, a few miles from both where you and I work in New York City. Mm-hmm. And so it's absolutely insane here. You have Democrats going on the record saying we do not want to deport violent migrants, not just regular migrants, not just people who came here. You know, and there's a debate about that. Obviously, I have strong views on that, too, that no one should be coming here illegally. But we're not even talking about the moderate view here where it's like, oh, maybe some of them come in. You know, we find a pathway, whatever. You're talking about violent criminals committing crime and assaulting our police officers they don't want to deport. That's how radical the Democrats have become. And I don't know who the constituency is for this stuff, Judge. It's absolutely ridiculous. New York City is a predominantly Democrat city. My Democrat friends, your Democrat friends, do not want to be assaulted while walking down the street by migrants.
Yeah, crazy. But I want to ask you one last question, Garrett Ventry. We love having you on. Kennedy family members this week rallied behind Joe Biden in what was such a stinging assault against Robert Kennedy Jr., who's running as an independent. What is that all about?
I mean, I think really what it is real quick to wrap this up, is that you have them fearing that RFK Jr. is taking votes from Joe Biden and not Donald Trump, and that's what's happening right now. Donald Trump is crushing Joe Biden in a landslide, and they need those votes from RFK Jr. not to be peeled away from Joe Biden. The problem is that voters do not like Joe Biden, no matter what the Kennedy family says. And I can tell you this, we saw this with the Clintons, we saw this with the Bushes, we saw this with now the Kennedys. They are not going to pick the next American president.
All right, we got you. Garrett Ventry, thanks so much for being with us. And up here next on the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, I'll be speaking with Colonel David Hunt.
This is the Judge Jeanine Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Welcome back to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Joining us is a gentleman, Colonel David Hunt, who has extensive operational experience in counterterrorism, special ops, and intelligence operations. You've heard him on the show before. You've seen him on Fox News. Join me in welcoming Colonel Hunt. Good morning, Colonel. How are you today?
Good, Judge. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Listen, last week the world held its breath after Iran lobbed 300 drones, crews, and ballistic missiles on Israel, all rebuffed as a result of a coordinated effort by the United States, the Brits, I understand Jordan, as well as the UAE. How would you categorize that union of countries that were making sure that none of the hits from Tehran hit Israel?
First, a great coordinated effort by Israel and the United States to stop that attack. And two, it shows how 99% of the Middle East is united against Iran. So Iran's adventure or attempt to destroy Israel, I think was shown is never going to happen with the kind of support that Israel has. When push comes to shove and all the arguments about Netanyahu, whether there should be a Jewish state or not, the truth is that there is, and there will continue to be. Much of that is because of United States support, but also, as we just saw, a remarkable effort on the part of the countries you described, shooting down 99% of 300 missiles and drones that were going towards. Absolutely. It's unprecedented.
Yeah. And you know what? It was a great thing. But then, Colonel David Hunt, what happened was everyone said, what will Israel do? And in fact, Colonel Hunt, I spoke to you last week and you said Israel has to retaliate. What do you think of the retaliation? How would you describe it when Israel hit back at Iran?
I think Israel surprised me and everyone else in the world. They're known for overdoing the response. I mean, if you hit them with one thing, they'll hit you with 10. I think it was measured. I think it was accurate. They hit targets in Syria and in Iran. So it's the first time that Iran has attacked Israel. It's not the first time, though, that Israel has attacked Iran, as we know. They've directly attacked Iran before.
Right.
It's kind of lost it a lot in everyone's fervor about Israel was about to do. And mm-hmm. I think that the argument is, did Iran target or let Israel world know kind of what they were doing and the way they targeted Israel? They still attacked them. And Israel had a tempered and a measured response.
Right.
And I think that's the end of it. As of now, I don't see any more going back and forth. I do think that Israel is still going to be fighting in Gaza, of course.
But, you know, my understanding is that Iran ended up saying, you know, basically it isn't over, one of the Ayatollahs. And it'll be interesting to see what, if anything, they do. How close are they to having a nuclear weapon? Do you know, do any of us know, Colonel David Hunt?
No, but put it this way. Pakistan and India built their own. Iran is flush with money for a lot of reasons. Building an atomic bomb is not the issue. It's always the trigger system and delivery. And with the amount of money and contacts that Iran has, I've assumed for the last 15 years that they've got it. But the U.S. no one in the intelligence community in the world or any newspaper, no one's ever been able to prove that. But it makes sense to me, considering all the other countries that have it, that Iran has it.
Interesting.
For example, Israel has it.
Right. We know that Israel has it.
Right. So, so I assume that they have at least a small yield tactical, you know, small nukes already.
Interesting. All right. Well, let's talk about Mike Johnson. This week got the House to give the $65 billion aid to Ukraine, and I believe that some of the money went to Israel. I'm not sure about that, but the Ukraine funding was part of the broader package, including aid to Israel and Taiwan. And it seems that many of the Republicans were against the money to Ukraine, and that Speaker Johnson kind of put his reputation on the line and said, we're going to give money to Ukraine. What do you think of that?
A couple of things. it felt for me, and we've known each other a long time. Mm-hmm. Politics, and I'm not any good at it. You're great at it. I'm not good at what I'm about to say. But it seemed to me that, wow, look at actually democracy worked. I mean, it was Republicans and Democrats passed something, and they did it pretty damn fast. I did not expect Johnson to have that kind of sand in him. I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. Number three, I think this, if I'm in the Freedom Caucus, which I'm not, mm-hmm. I would be worried. Because if they've just lost a big battle, and I don't know how they recover without, if the Democrats and Republicans are going to, if Democrats are going to continue to support bills that make sense, the Freedom Caucus is not going to work. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene and the rest can say all they want about getting Johnson out, but the Democrats will overwhelm them with support. It only takes, 120, 150 Republicans, and the rest are all Democrats.
Right.
I think that Johnson keeps his job, and I'm way over my head right now.
Yeah. No, you're not. But the truth is that you're right. Marjorie Taylor Greene is incensed about this. And, they see it as his joining the Democrat Party. But in the end, the money to Ukraine, I mean, how long is this war going on? Is it 2 years, Colonel David Hunt?
It is 2 years for our involvement, almost going on three. But Ukraine has been fighting Russia directly since 2014. So it's a long time for them. And the frustration for me is that there's so much we could have done in the beginning of this war. We piecemealed our support into Ukraine, and then it became a very political effort. We haven't sent them money in a year, mm-hmm. and yet they're still holding on. So my answer is, I think it's at least another year that this thing's got to go on.
Well, and you know what? Go ahead.
No, okay. And we still got this Israeli-Gaza war that's not stopping.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, Colonel David Hunt, is that, people said that war in Ukraine better be over and not going on during the presidential election. But it seems that it is going on. And then obviously what's going on in Gaza. And what do you think about the fact that the United States has lost Americans, and we've got Americans taken as hostages. Do you think those hostages are alive? Do we have any idea?
I believe there's 8 or 9 Americans that are still held.
Right.
The story last two weeks was that Hamas had lost or unaccounted for 40 hostages.
Right.
That story has died. I don't know where we are there. And I don't know what that means. I mean, suspicion is they're dead.
Yeah.
But we all knew when the October 7th happened, it wasn't just Hamas that took hostages. There were splinter groups that took them, gangs that took them.
Right.
And there was no central control point that not the 130, hostages were taken. And the problem is the way that Israel has decided to fight this war is not conducive to hostage rescue.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
absolutely.
And also there's a decision, and Israel makes the decision to fight the way they're fighting because it's safer for their soldiers to fight this kind of the way they were fighting the war because they outgun Hamas, obviously. But if you want to rescue hostages, there's a different way you have to fight a war. Israel made the choice. And so the answer is, I think there are a lot less hostages alive than the 130 number that we're getting.
I believe that also. Colonel David Hunt, thanks so much for joining us on the Tunnel to Towers Foundation show. And never forget, everyone, that's a commitment we made on 9/11. Honor it by donating $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at t2t.org. That's t2t.org. And up next, I am going to be speaking about the jury trial that we're opening statements start tomorrow, Monday, as Joe Biden stutters and stumbles his way through Pennsylvania. Donald Trump is on trial in New York City. Stay with us. We'll be speaking with veteran attorney Arthur Aidala.
This is the Judge Jeanine Show. This is the Judge Jeanine Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Welcome back to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Joining us now is an attorney, is a founding partner of Vidala, Bertuna & Caymans PC, trial attorney, radio, TV, legal analyst. And I got to tell you, folks, this is a guy, if I ever got in trouble, this is the guy I would call. You may recognize him. He always wears that hat. I don't know what that's about, Arthur. But his Arthur Vidala is joining us this morning. Join me in welcoming him to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. How are you, Arthur?
Well, you left off as one of my titles is your friend, number one. and number two, you don't know what the hat is about? Have you seen my bald head?
I think you're very handsome. You're like Kojak. Come on.
But it was cold. I was out in front of that courthouse last week. It was kind of misty out, freezing. Yes, I was going to wear my hat and protect my bald head.
Yeah. All right.
It's good to be on the show with you.
It's great to have you on, Arthur. I'm really thrilled to have you on, and I don't want to waste time. I want to get right to it. All right. So while bumbling, stumbling, Joe Biden is trying to make a play in Pennsylvania, a swing state. He's got Donald Trump locked down in Manhattan. The jury's been selected. I said in my opening statement at the beginning of the hour that Juan Merchan doesn't know what the hell he's doing, and I don't expect you to comment on that. But if jurors are starting to feel frightened because too much information is being played out in the courtroom, and then he wants to yell at the press for publishing information, I mean, he's an amateur. There is a way to protect jurors so they can't be identified. That why didn't this guy do it?
Well, you know, there's a difference between in the federal court where they do a lot of the organized crime cases and what they can do to protect jurors. And here also, you know, he's trying, I think, the judge to kind of walk that tightrope between shutting the public out altogether and, you know, giving them some access. So, you know, I understand the jurors being nervous. I think they look after that guy lit himself on fire. You see that there are real nut jobs out there. So, you know, I can understand it's like a well-founded concern if you're on that jury.
Arthur, I was a county judge. I would do it in a back room on the record with the defendant present. You can't tell the press, don't publish this, don't publish that. But you can also protect the record. But I don't like the judge, and obviously, you know, whatever. All right, let's talk about the opening statement. What's going to happen tomorrow?
Well, technically what happens is the judge reads the jury the instructions. So they read he reads the jury what the law is in the beginning, what the rules of the game are. Then the prosecutor will stand up. And my guess is they'll do a typical prosecutor statement. They'll stand at the podium. They'll be very reserved. But they're going to lay out their evidence. And if they're smart, what they're going to say is, yes, Stormy Daniels is basically an extortionist prostitute. And yes, Michael Cohen. And yes, this is what, if they're smart, they get ahead of the curve. And Michael Cohen is a perjurer and a convicted felon who has a reputation of lying. But you know what, folks? You're not going to have to rely on them because you're going to have text messages. You're going to have bank records. You're going to have ledgers inside the office. You're going to have other corroborating evidence that will prove our case beyond a reasonable doubt. And then if you're the defense attorney, I think you need to stand up there with passion. I think you need to connect with the jury in a way that there could be total BS that this guy, that it really is a witch hunt. But this is such a petty crime. I cannot, just so you know, Judge Jeanine Pirro, you know I've been in New York for 32 years.
Yes.
I cannot, as a lawyer, I cannot find a judge or a lawyer who has ever tried an e-felony. So your listeners know it's the lowest of the lowest, the bottom of the barrel. They never go to trial. You always dispose of them. And it's like a joke of a case for us. So you got to tell that to the jury the best you can, as much as Marshawn lets it happen. And hopefully, and this is what's most important, 80% of jurors say what they think the verdict is going to be after opening statement is their verdict. So you need to win that case in opening statement. People don't realize that. It is so vital, the opening statement.
You are so right, and that's why I called you a veteran, Arthur Idala. But I got to tell you, one of the things that is so disturbing to me is that, you know, this is a misdemeanor case where the statute of limitations has passed and they bootstrapped the felony. We don't know what the felony is yet. But in the end, the chances of jury nullification that you described so accurately, given the fact that how many jurors went and said, oh, I can be fair. I hate Donald Trump. He's a pig. He's this. He's that. He's a liar. He's this. Oh, I can be fair. I mean, you know what, Arthur, you and I both know, I've tried enough cases and so have you. You and I both know that a lot of this jury is picked from the voter registration rolls. And under New York, 90% of the people, yeah, 90% of the people on those rolls voted against Donald Trump. How does he get a fair trial? Why not a change of venue?
The best thing he gets is a hung jury, in my opinion. I mean, to your point, there is a woman who said, she didn't say I don't like him. She said, I don't like the way he conducts himself. I think he's too selfish, et cetera. And in any other, under any other circumstance, a judge would immediately strike that person from the jury. Immediately.
Yeah, of course.
If a juror points to the defendant and says, yeah, I know this guy. I don't like this about him. I don't like that about him. Give me a break. And he didn't. And that's the biggest criticism so far I have of the judge. I don't, with 40 other people, eligible jurors, sitting in your courtroom, why, and hundreds of others downstairs, why do you let that woman on the jury? So I don't think, I write off an acquittal. I don't think there's any way Donald Trump's being found not guilty.
No, there's no way.
I think the best case scenario is there's two or three jurors in there, like Survivor, like they have an alliance and they just say, look, we ain't convicting this guy, and the three of us just have to hold strong. The nine of us may want to beat us up, but we're not giving in, and we're just, so it'll be a hung jury, and then Alvin Bragg has to decide if in the history of America they're going to retry an e-felony a second time, because it's never happened before.
Well, you know what's interesting about the felony, Arthur? I spoke to some of my friends who are DAs now. Because of COVID, Arthur Idala, what they're doing is they're still trying cases, violent felony cases where the defendant is in jail. Those are the cases that you move quickly. Since when do we try a case when there's a backlog like in Manhattan, which has four times the caseload of my friend in Onondaga County, and try a case that's a nonviolent felony where the defendant is not in jail? They put this thing.
Judge.
I mean, this
is. You don't. You don't. Look, anyone who's saying that Donald Trump is getting a fair shake in Manhattan is just incorrect. They're just incorrect. They say, oh, no one's above the law. No one's above the law. Well, you know what? No one's beneath the law either. And the way they're treating him. And look, just so your listeners understand, I am no, this is has nothing to do with politics. And I will be, I say this honestly, if it was Joe Biden on trial for the exact same thing, or Barack Obama or Bill Clinton, I would be saying the exact same thing. This is not about Donald Trump. It's about the way they're treating a citizen of the United States of America.
And you know what? It is so frustrating, Arthur, to people like you and me. But the smart people, you know, who are lawyers, you know, who are smart and understand all of the problems, the fact that there's no basis for it, the fact that it's being moved to trial ahead of other violent felony cases where criminals are in jail, the fact that this is nothing more than election interference. We've got smart friends who are saying, you know what? He deserves it. It's like the rules don't apply to Donald Trump. All of a sudden, he is public. I've never seen people lose their not just their credentials, but lose the fact that they know what the law is, but they don't care. They disregard
totally
it because
agree.
They
Judge,
hate Donald
totally
Trump.
I totally agree with you. I absolutely agree. Thank you so much for having me on. It's an honor and a privilege.
Yep. All right. Well, I love you, Arthur Idala. Thanks for joining us today. And everyone, thank you for joining us on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show. I will be back here next Sunday, same time, same place. And I hope that you have a great week. And next week, hopefully, I'll have a better voice. Take care and God bless.